That's right. The drive is live. Sir. Hopefully you had yourself a spectacular weekend. As you see Clint and Tyler is back from his trip to Albuquerque where he...
I think I'm getting there.
You getting to Albuquerque?
No.
Oh.
No. 239. I think I'm getting there.
Oh, you think you get under 240? Yep. We got the way in?
Yep. Tyler went to Albuquerque. I went to the 230s.
There you go. We'll see where I am. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock weigh in. Clint feels like
he's ready to jump.
Did you hit the sauna today?
My sauna's not been. I've been plugged up for about 2 months now. I've just been doing it the hard way, man. When it's this hot outside, hell, I'll be honest with you.
Just going out there?
You just got to get active, man. Just get your ass outside and you can get that sauna work.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a little stuff happening in the house. I wish I could have got out a little bit, but hanging out with the floor people. You know, I'm telling you, man, we're getting it done now. Doors and floors, baby.
Do you look at it and go, I can't wait to have my new crib, or do you look at it and go, you see money signs flying out the door?
Nah, hopefully they say it's going to take 7 days. Let's get this thing through, baby.
Oh, come on. Seven days come and go
before
you know it, man.
Let's get this thing through, baby.
Hold on, son.
How was Kirky? That was Albuquerque.
Yeah, Albuquerque, baby, in the building.
It was fun, man. It was fun. Good, solid boys trip. Good to see a lot of those dudes I went to college with. You know, it was good.
We were debating and looking up, trying to figure out the nightlife spots in Albuquerque.
You
got
to go casino. Just go casino.
Oh, y'all just banged out casino. You got to hit the bars.
Damn it. Yeah. We had one bar.
I'm proud of you. That's probably the safest route. I was worried that you were going to get out there and try to Northgate this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was a tad bit concerned. They had some options.
It was fun. We did hit a few bars the very first night that were closer to the University of New Mexico. But we saw one bar in downtown Albuquerque, and we were like, you know what? Let's get closer to the university.
Why? What does that mean?
I'm telling you. Was I wrong?
It's different.
Was I wrong, T?
In downtown, no, you were not.
I don't even know. I'm serious. What do you
mean?
Tell
you, man.
It's not great nightlife.
It takes a lot for. I've been in some very suspect places in my time. Times that, you know, places I probably shouldn't have been in, but I've felt comfortable. Very rarely do I go somewhere and end up in a place and I'm like, man, I'm not real sure that I'm in a good spot.
Are you talking about like it was when you rolled up on them dogs and you turned off when you was trying to get, get your car,
detailed?
No, when you're trying to get your car up and going and you was running out of it's not gas with you're in your electric car, you turned off and you turned off with them dogs.
Yes,
you talk about that kind of concern?
Yes,
when they're about that kind of concern?
Yeah, yes, that level of
in downtown
like,
Albuquerque, was that kind of concern?
Well, let's put it this way. I walked out of the bar that we were at after we found out there's a rule in downtown Albuquerque that no bars will give you a shot. So red flag number one.
That's strange.
Walked out of the bar and saw a fella smoking meth. Let's put it that way.
One guy does meth, and you take out the entire downtown.
You know when you get in, like when I went down there, I ended up in a Ojos Locos. Is that what it is? Ojos, the sports bar, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was just because it was close. I didn't have a car, so I walked across the street. A lot of you know when you end up in one of them places where you can just tell that everybody in the building don't get along? You can just tell everybody.
There's some tenseness
in the air.
Like I mean, you can tell when you walk in the door. Like, is everybody just there to have a good time and doing their own thing, or is there tension in the air? Good call, Tyler. Is there tension in the air? Does everybody appear to be a somewhat on edge? And then you add to the mix the waitresses all had a little bitty skirts on and their tops hanging out. Mm. And in my mind, I'm thinking. Boy, I'm one look too long from getting hit in the head with a beer bottle.
Because somebody's girlfriend is in here.
Yes, indeed.
I was about to say, the way Tyler was, I was like, is it some Bloods and some Crips?
No. I mean, not that I saw. It wasn't nothing like that.
Nah.
It was just one of them like, hey, man, like I don't know that I want to have, I don't know that I'm looking for this much fun.
Or this type of fun.
We had a great time spending the majority of our time either on the golf course, at the badass Airbnb we had, or in the casino. Put it that way.
Where I was concerned with Tyler, because this is where I go. Like, I'll be honest with you, a lot of it, we talked about some of the stories in my time in Arkansas. Like, after going back, like being there, living there afterwards, and even going back now. Like, it's some of the places that I end up, it's a little uncomfortable unless I got four or five dudes with me.
Yeah.
It's a good way.
They were 16 deep.
Well, that's what I said. Like, I'm surprised. I thought Tyler was going to be 10 foot tall and bulletproof with 16 buddies, and
he was going to really up in. See, that's not the one. That's not the one of the 16 that I thought. I thought Blaine.
You remember how
brave he got? Hey. We were sitting there, and the three of us, and he messed with whoever it was in front of us. I thought, damn.
Hey, I saw Tyler's video. Blaine's the only guy that's 35 years old still trying to drink a beer bottle on a dance floor. Hey, man, you can't carry your damn beer bottle on a dance. You can't carry your drink on a dance floor, fool, especially at the casino bar. Get your damn drink on at the table, son.
I didn't know that was a no-no. I still do it.
I can see you. Hey, sir.
I take my straw and fire it, and I got it running. I'm on it.
Ron uses his ice. Ron's throwing his ice at the chicks.
I didn't know that. Nah, I ain't wasting that ice. It's got alcohol in it. I'm drinking it.
The best part of that video was I initially started taking it because I wanted to get a video of Blaine dancing with that old lady. Thought it was funny.
Yeah,
he's dancing with some blue hair. I'm walking up. Oh, this is hilarious. And as I'm videoing, someone from the casino's walking up to him. Sir, come with me, sir. Over here.
Yeah, Blaine.
Freaking idiot. Love you, B.
Blaine.
I'm about to say, Blaine, I'd have taken many a drinks on the dance floor, baby.
Oh, man, come on. You know you can't do that, man.
I did not.
Come on, man.
Blaine had worse moments that day. That's all right.
I'm not going to lie to you. 713-572-4610. I just found that out right here. I didn't know that was frowned upon. I'm taking mine all the way. When I went to teen clubs, I was drinking my Mountain Dew all the way up.
Well, I don't know that they're enforcing it when you were at Middle Tennessee State in the nightclub with the lights down low when you were leaned on the wall making knees touch elbows.
I did that.
I mean, I've done it myself. I just know that I've also been tapped on the shoulder. I mean,
it makes sense right now. Like, I'm starting to have that moment.
Did you see the video?
I haven't seen it.
Ron, there's three people on the dance floor. And he's carrying his drink on the dance floor.
Yeah, brought it out.
And the lights are on, Chief. By the way, the lights are on.
I didn't have it.
The Navajo Casino did not want that.
I did not have it. Maybe casino's different. I'm telling you. I'm talking about just last week in Turks and Caicos. I did that.
I think he's drinking that Bud Heavy, too.
Ooh. I bet he was. All right. Texans head coach coming off their final preseason game, DeMeco Ryan, said, as we're seeing a lot of teams roll through their cuts today, none from the Texans. DeMeco Ryan said, no roster updates at this time, still working through it. Quote, as he said, the roster is in flux. It's not just a one-day type of deal. It's been ongoing for the last several weeks. As roster continues to take place over the next day or so, still some final spots we're trying to identify. It's tough this year, probably the toughest it has been for myself, is what DeMeco Ryan's had to say. Really competitive team, a lot of depth, situations lie, and how can you keep as many guys as possible? That's the tough part, according to the head coach DeMeco Ryan. So, as I said, there have been several teams that have made some cuts, Clint, but right now the Texans still haven't made any moves to the roster, and that's interesting because they got some cats now. They got some bubble dudes over there. Yeah. They got some cats, especially the people who played in this last preseason game, especially in the first half. There's some bubble guys right there that I'm sure not only, you know, are the Texans looking at trying to decide, there's probably some other teams trying to decide on some of the players that the Texans have, because I do agree they do have some great depth.
Well, they've got tremendous depth and quality depth, and I'm talking about several guys that I believe would go somewhere and be in the 2-3 deep on NFL teams. And I also think a part of this delay could be, you know, they built this roster to a certain spot where some of these guys are tradable.
Yeah,
I mean, we saw him trade John Mechie and get a position of need with Harrison Bryant, the tight end. And so can you do that with some other guys that are on the bubble? What are you going to do with some of the bigger name guys, Cam Robinson, DeNico Autry? You know, what are you going to do with those guys?
You think those guys are on the bubble?
Well, I don't know if we're going to classify them as bubble, but definitely guys that I could see on the move. I don't see them.
You think those are potential guys that aren't going to be a part of the Texans?
Yes. I could see DeNico Autry getting cut simply because there's savings there. There's several million dollars worth of savings there. So I you know, and I don't know I think they're really comfortable with their five deep on the interior D line, and I think they're really comfortable with their four deep, two deep on at the edge rusher position. So I think Denico Autry is one to keep an eye on, really, with the contract as well as the roster having to be cut down. And look, Damian Pierce is one that I think is a yep. veteran that's really on the bubble.
And it doesn't sound like from D'Amico that Joe Mixon is any closer to playing. And I agree with you. I still think that Damian Pierce is somebody that's on the boat.
Yeah, well, look, if we look at this thing, and we've seen enough now, guys. I mean, I love Damian Pierce, but we got to be honest at this point in time with what we see. Not the guy that we saw 2 years, 3 years ago, right? This season, what we've seen in a small sample size, Woody Marks is a better runner with more explosion, more twitch, more change of direction, right? They can all pass protect, so that's not going to exclude anybody. They've got the veteran that they just is a safety net for him, and Dari Agumbawale. Clearly, they like Nick Chubb more than some folks maybe think they like Nick Chubb. I mean, I'm seeing some reports where he doesn't have this or he doesn't have that, and they don't really. Come on, man. I mean, Nick Chubb is going to be the start running back for this team, and everything's going to go off of Nick Chubb. And I still think there's a spot where Damian Pierce could be moved here.
You think we've seen enough, or you've seen enough from Damian Pierce in this new offense and the new style of how they're going for more of the gap scheme from the zone? You think you've seen enough?
I would have
just
liked
been one.
I would have liked to have seen more.
Yeah.
Yes. But what we did see in a very small sample size, what do you have, four or five carries?
I know he was like 2.4 yards a carry or something, well, 17 yards.
It was more of the same of what we've seen when he's gotten run recently, you know, the since the really good year with Pep Hamilton 3 years ago, three seasons ago, I guess. So, again, it's all we got to base on. You stay injured. Part of being injured for three quarters of training camp is you got a small sample size here, and they've got a tough decision that they've got to make with Damian Pierce. I just don't – you know, when he goes in and runs with the ones, and then Woody Marks comes in right behind him and looks significantly different in a positive light, I just don't think it's going to shine well for Damian Pierce. And I think he is a guy that people do – there are some teams around the league that do like Damian Pierce. So I think these guys I'm talking about are guys like veteran pieces
that
are on the bubble that could potentially be traded.
That's the part about the Texans. It's not just the back end of the roster. Like, are they going to keep, you know, D'Angelo Ross or Arnett? Are they going to keep, you know, Nick Neiman? Or what are they going to do? It is – I got a hard time thinking that Blake Fisher and Cam Robinson are both going to be on this team. Like, both of them going to be on the – like two backup tackles, like that one to, you know, to go along with, are you going to cut Justin Watson? Cause are you going to have seven receivers? Like I find it hard to think that Watson right now, Fisher and Cam Robinson are both going to be on the roster. So they have a lot of guys that, you know, coming into camp, you thought, well, these guys will probably make it. And guys, like you said, that can go and probably play somewhere else, that teams would not just be, ooh, all right, he's going to go in the practice squad. No, this is a guy that actually we look at and he could be a part of our roster. You know, second round pick from last year that started, you know, the second half of the season basically for the Texans and Blake Fisher. Then Cam Robinson, who's been around, who you looked at and wanted to play, you know, $12 million. So it's not just the back half. They got a lot of hard decisions on guys that, you know, could be the next one up type of decisions, and not just, all right, is he going to play special teams for us and everything? Like, this is an interesting group they have.
It is. They've built it with so much depth that you've got pieces that you can trade. You really like your developmental pieces. You've got some very difficult decisions to make with some veterans, as you mentioned, that you've already paid. It's going, the next 24 hours is going to be very, very interesting with the Texans, and the fact that they haven't cut anybody yet shouldn't surprise anybody, because as I mentioned, I think there's some guys that they're going, do we go ahead and cut them loose and let them get on the market, or do we try to make moves to better our football team, at least positions of need? You know, you got a safety need right now. You got a guard need right now. You know, you, you, if you could upgrade the running back position with something that's with a veteran that's maybe a better fit, knows the system, that somebody knows that Nick Caley's been with. You know, there's some positions of need that I think you could probably, but third or fourth corner on this team. Is there a corner out there you can make a move and acquire with one of these pieces?
Yeah.
A lot of moving and shaking, I'd imagine, Ron.
Yep, that's a Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much things these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. The Astros, they did what they needed to do over the weekend. They took 3 of 4 from the Orioles. What, as we come back, what was the most important thing to happen in this 4-game series for the Astros? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the Astros had the weekend series that they needed to have. And a 4-game set against the last place Baltimore Orioles, and they took 3 of 4 in that series, and that was exactly what they needed to do. That was a bad baseball team. They had come into that series losing 4 in a row, and the offense was struggling with multiple shutouts. But they were able to do what they needed to do, take 3 of 4. Their lead is 2 games in the American League West, as the Mariners took 2 of 3 from the A's. But they did what they needed to do. Now, there are some concerns with the team they played, but they just needed to create some space and kind of get off of the struggles they were having, especially offensively. And they scored runs. They definitely did that, except for yesterday's game. But as I said on the other side, 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in as well. What to you was the most important thing to happen in this series for the Astros? Ocho, the offense was nice, but I know it's fool's gold. The starting pitching was troublesome. Even Eric Geddy concerns me because he can't finish hitters effectively with 2 strikes. Altuve is killing me. Okay, everything you got here. Come on. I said, what? So you just enrolled through the whole gamut here, Ocho. Hero swings. What was the most important thing coming out of the weekend? For me, Clint, I disagree a little bit with Ocho, is to me Spencer Arrighetti. The pitching was, Lance and Christian Javier couldn't stop putting free base runners on with walks. He didn't walk anybody. Arrighetti goes 5 2/3, gives up 2 earns. Wish he could have the strikeout numbers up. He has done that in a couple of his other starts since he's been back, but I think that was more promising than anything else, even though it came in the loss. Him going almost 6 innings, giving up 2 earned, 2 strikeouts, no walks. That, to me, was even more than some of the offense we saw, because Baltimore doesn't have great starting pitching. So you expected this offense to get going a bit. But I think Arrighetti showing up, to me, was the most important thing of the series.
Yeah, look, I think Spencer was big, obviously. But I'll go offensively. I'll go Christian Walker. I mean, Christian Walker was lights out. He's swinging the bat really, really well. Hopefully, as you mentioned, I know it's the Orioles. I know they're struggling. But I mean, hopefully this is Christian Walker turning the corner, and really that, the money spent there to bring him in is going to start paying off at the absolute perfect time late in the season, as Yordan Alvarez, enters this lineup. So I'm going to go with Christian Walker with the Astros, that bat getting hot along with what we know the other guys are capable of doing. And then I wanted to stick to your question. The bigger thing this weekend is Yordan doing what he did. As far as we know, he is on the backside of it, really, really healthy and with no inflammation. And he absolutely lit it up. Look, I know he's out there facing minor league pitching and he should light it up, but damn, what do you have? Five extra base hits?
Yeah, he was, he hit .467, 7 for 15, 4 doubles, 4 RBIs, and 2 walks. Means he's seeing the ball well. Yep. So yeah, he went down there and dominated. For the Hooks.
For the sake of staying in the big leagues, I'll go with Christian Walker. And for just for the Astro fan in me, I will acknowledge what the hell Yordan did really turns me on.
A couple people here on the text line and YouTube and Twitch, Champ Slice. Javier was a huge disappointment. McCullers needs to go to the bullpen. coming from YouTube and Twitch.
Some
people are looking at some of those guys and starting pitching as the most important thing to happen over the weekend, which is fair. As you're going to need somebody to go behind Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez, and quite frankly, Clint, still being fair, they still haven't been up here for long stretches, right? That was McCullough's first start in over a month with that devastating blister that he had, and Arrigetti, who had missed basically the season at two starts. That was his second or third start there, and then Javier still getting back off of Tommy John. They still have all made under five starts, so you still understand there's going to be some time. But in fairness to some of the texters, Clint, nobody has stepped up to where you'd say, all right, that guy's definitely put himself in front of everybody to be the third starter in the postseason. We still don't have that answer.
Look, all of these guys, with the exception
maybe Jason Alexander. Hell, I guess
that's right.
Maybe.
Fixing to go. You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, I think Spencer Arrigetti's obviously still, he's coming. He's knocking off some rust. And I think, look, the other guys are still, I'm leaning on Lance, I'll be honest with you. I'm about done with Lance, but Christian Javier, I'm not out on him yet. But look, all of these guys they're keeping the door open for Jason Alexander. Every time he goes out there, he pitches well. At some point in time, we're all going to become believers if he just keeps this up. And if the other guys leave the door open, he may be the guy that ends up having to get some run in critical moments. Hopefully not. Hopefully Christian Javier or Spencer Arrigetti or one of these other guys that's got a little bit more dynamic stuff. Hopefully they step up. But Jason Alexander sitting there waiting in the wings. Man, I tell you what I did like. Oh, Kimbrel.
I was going to say, Craig, someone texted in that too. Craig Kimbrel. He looked, hey man, anybody rolling in out of that bullpen to get you a 1-2-3, baby. It's been a shrug mission. They're going to have something, right?
Yeah.
They've just taken hits there, and obviously the big hit to Hader, and they got to find a way to get to Abreu, and you hope that Craig can be the answer, right? Like, it obviously was one inning, and it was against the Orioles, but, boy, you hope he can be a big answer because they need it. Losing Sousa, as we talked about Friday, another weapon in the bullpen that's not going to be available. They're saying it may be a couple weeks before he even throws again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely need some answers there.
By the way, Bennett, I think I like that song. I mean, that name.
You like Bennett?
Bennett, yeah. Bennett, I kind of like it.
Versatility, go by Ben. Benny.
Yeah, you can do all that.
Just Bennett.
Yeah, I like it. It goes good with Sousa.
Yeah, Bennett, yeah. Good for him. Again, as you said, Jordan, we'll keep our eyes and ears open for that because you feel like we've seen enough. In the minors, and you would think he potentially may get back, and nobody better than to face the Rockies to kick this rust off. Maybe get him in the lineup tomorrow for the Rockies.
Framber needs a day. Get him in there too.
Yeah, Framber's in there.
Game two.
There it is. All right, coming up, we got a few questions coming out of the final preseason game as we head to the period in which the Texans are going to have to get down to 53 before they get ready for September 7th against the Rams. Three questions. We'll discuss those coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Derino from YouTube text in. Kenyon Green got cut by the Eagles. Would you bring him in as a backup?
What are we doing?
Why would do that?
Zero chance. Sorry about that, man. Ain't there.
He's not done, is he? Is somebody?
I think it's more likely he's done than he ever plays again.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's injuries or it's just, work ethic and things like this, there's some huge hurdles. I mean, because this is not a guy that was given up on. I mean, he was given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity here in Houston. And
you're going to keep going for somebody you drafted 15.
Yeah, you're going to try to make it work. You're going to get all kind of opportunities. You're going to try to make it work. And here he was given those opportunities. And it's unfortunate, man. But with these kind of moments just validate what the Texans did. Because you could argue when he left here, like, hey, man, let's see what he's got to offer.
Philly.
Because, I mean, clearly – here in Houston. There's a bunch of guys that are still NFL players that are here right now with the Texans that were maybe not as bad, but really bad last year. And hell, we're all talking about how we hope like hell they're the pieces that fix this thing. And, you know, he goes on to Philly and you go, hey, they got a really good offensive line coach. They got a really good scheme. They produce really, really high level offensive linemen. And hell, the reports I've seen was he got hurt.
Yeah, he had a wrist issue.
And then he was back and was getting in with the second team in the third week of the preseason, and now he's cut. So it's just not been good for Kenyon Green. Yeah, I don't.
I don't think they need to go and bring that back.
Oh, I didn't take that question serious. I was just commenting.
I hear you. I'm just kind of putting a bow on it. I don't think they need to entertain that. Yeah, I think from the guard perspective, you know, Drew Scruggs and Patterson, they have answers there before needing to go in and bring somebody else in. I don't know. Maybe if you had a rash of injuries and he's somebody you think that you're familiar with, it maybe, because you ain't lying. I mean, he went from starting week one last year for the Texans to getting traded for C.J. Gardner-Johnson and getting some reps there to, like, it'll be, I'm sure someone will take a chance on him as he was a top 15 pick in the NFL and offensive line issues and injuries and stuff like that. I'm certain somebody will probably take a shot. But, whew, he ain't got too many more shots, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, look, the path for Kenyon Green at this point is to lower expectations, lower stand, and say, hey, man, look, here's the deal. You know, if somebody wants to bring him in and put him on his practice squad, and if this really is a maturity and a development, which is very possible. I don't know the kid personally, but it's very possible that this is just he was better than everybody in college, so he put out some good tape and dominated at that level. And then the work ethic wasn't there. The development from a workout perspective and you know, a body perspective wasn't there. Then you get up here and all of a sudden you're playing uphill, and not only are you not talented enough, but you're also not prepared for it, so you stay injured. Is there for Kenyon Green, is there some practice squad opportunity out there with some team that's willing to give him a year to just kind of try to develop and see if they can get the best out of the guy down the road? I think that's what his career looks like the rest of the way.
Second time he's had a year. Second time he's.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's going to continue to get them. Hey, number 15 overall, get you opportunities now.
Yeah. All right. Clint, there's a few questions here that I think D'Amico and Nick are talking through right now, right? There's a few things that they're having conversations about. Let's go through a couple of them, get your thoughts on it. Let's start with the offensive line situation. How many tackles? We just talked about Kenyon Green, and based off our guys saying maybe should the Texans take a look at him. We don't think they should do that. But do the Texans keep all of those tackles they have? Right? We said it before the season started. Like, boy, they got a lot of tackles. Yeah. They got a lot of tackles, and it looks like now we're looking at a situation where Titus Howard and Ariante Ursary are going to be the tackles. That's what it looks like thus far. But what does that mean? You generally don't have three other tackles on your roster as backups with Fisher, Cam Robinson, and then Trent Brown, who we haven't seen practice since. How many tackles? How many of these guys you think are on this team?
Look, Ron, I think instead of doing a final roster and see if we can't guess the 53, how about, to me, it's just more about what questions are out there about the decisions that the Texans have to make. And this is one of the big ones here, is do they keep four tackles moving forward? You can leave the question at that, or you can continue on and say, do they keep four tackles on this team, knowing that the interior offensive line is where you're suspect and where you gotta shore it up, right? And so do they keep four tackles, possibly five if you count Trent Brown as well? And in this mix here, if you look at it, do you keep four tackles when – one of the likely possibilities is the $12 to $14 million guy is a backup. Do you keep him, right? Do you keep four tackles on the team, one of them being Blake Fisher, when you've shown all training camp that you don't trust Blake Fisher to be able to protect for good reason? Like he's giving you plenty. He's giving you plenty of reason. Now, so to me, I ask all those questions, and the situations, the predicaments that I posed there were ones where it's like, I don't know how you keep four tackles with that being the case. I mean, you got to get help inside.
The only way is if they just count of, all right, if something doesn't work out, Titus is the other inside.
Well, that's where I was going to go. You can look at this thing and say, well, Titus Howard can be viewed as a guard. Well, that's fine. But right now, he's arguably your best tackle. And so you can take Titus Howard and view Titus Howard as a guy that can move inside if need be or move outside if need be. Bottom line is he's your best tackle. And so if you move him inside, you get weaker on the edges. Definitely in the pass protection game, and maybe not in the run game, but definitely in the pass protection game. So the four tackles, like to me, coming into this season, if you signed Cam Robinson and you got Titus Howard and you draft Ursary and Blake Fisher is a guy that's played some for you, I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay, my tackles are pretty shored up. Right, I mean, tackles are pretty. I'm gonna be all right on the. At least I expect to be all right on the edges. You look inside and you go, I brought in Lakin Tomlinson. I brought in Ed Ingram. I brought in a guy that the Patriots cut as my center. I got Juice Scruggs, who's been a disappointment at center and guard. You know, your weakness, your concerned spot is that interior offensive line. So, do the Texans view it that way? And do the Texans make some kind of move to try to reinforce that offensive line from an interior perspective, even if it's just depth, from an interior perspective, or do they keep the extra offensive lineman as an edge guy, even though that's really where you could argue they're – not argue, I think it's pretty obvious they're the strongest.
Yeah, it depending on how they view the interior, right? They may view the interior as more shored up.
Yeah. Well, it's also like Brian,
they may count Titus as a part of that.
Well, yeah. you can do that. Okay, but now you can do that if you're just talking offensive line. But now if you look at big picture roster building, you like what's the point of keeping Blake Fisher?
Yeah. Having both him and Cam.
Well, you can argue Cam is one of your best options at tackle. That ship has sailed for Blake Fisher. Yeah. Like what we've seen this preseason, you're going to be scared as hell if Blake Fisher has to play. And so, but so you're going to eat up a roster spot with him at a time when you're going to have to cut some. You know, you'd rather eat that roster spot up with a running back with Joe Mixon out and a Nick Chubb that's been injured, and I mean a Damian Pierce that's been injured.
Well, I think the thought would be development. Is he's a second round pick in year two, and you want
right.
to develop in it, and hopefully you develop to a space where him and Ursary are your tackles.
Yeah,
that would have to have been the thought of the point.
Yeah, no, I think we can make that argument for a lot of guys. I mean, so you're going to have to cut some guys that you can that have that exact case that they built. And four tackles for this squad just – and I'm not saying that Blake Fisher's the one that's got to go, but it seems to me like that's a lot given how your roster is built. Seems to me that's aggressive at the tackle position given how you're built.
Yeah. No, that to me is probably the toughest decision they got to make, is that what they're going to do with the offensive line situation, what they're going to do with the tackles. That has to be the toughest situation because, you know, you're looking at, all right, I got a guy who committed $12 million to that. Like, that's a hit unless we can trade him or something. But there's a $12 million guarantee hit, or – we just drafted a guy in the second round last year who we felt comfortable enough last year in Bobby Slowick's offense to start multiple times and to start playoff games. And, like, that development has to be something that they're looking at. Like, so development versus $12 million, one of our highest paid players right now. What are we gonna eat?
Yeah, that's just a big question. Like, I don't have the answers. I'm just, as a Texans fan, you come out on the backside of training camp and it's like, hey, what are the questions? What are they gonna do with Damian Pierce? Are they really gonna keep four tackles?
How many tackles do you think they're gonna keep?
I think they're gonna keep four and count Titus Howard as a guard.
And so that means and they're
gonna
roll, else?
I think they're gonna roll the dice as they did at free agency. I think they're gonna roll the dice on the offensive line again. If I had to bet, I think they roll the dice with the offensive line, the nine offensive line that everybody's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Kick Rocks, can we take a moment to appreciate that the big issue of the day for this team is the fourth tackle.
No, that was an issue. I got a list over here of a few more. But yes, to your point, who said that?
Kick Rocks.
To your point, Kick Rocks, you are right. We're in a really good place. We're going to be talking about like the third or fourth corner. We're going to talk the safety position because you got one that can't stay out of jail and you got one of them that is hurt his knee. You're talking about four tackles or more help to reinforce the inside. So I mean, yeah, we're talking about two rookies that can play at the wide receiver position, versus John Metchie. So yeah, you've got some. It is a good place to be in right now with the Texans. At cut date is
for the most part.
Yeah,
you're still rolling the dice on the offensive line.
Bingo. Assuming the offensive line moves work out.
Yeah.
Now here's the deal: you go in that first week and these offensive line, Ed Ingram struggling. You got to bump Titus Howard back down there to guard, and all of a sudden, you got some struggles. You got to shuffle the deck again. Yeah. Ooh, that's gonna be a tough pill to swallow,
Freddie
boy.
Freddie Ingram. Yeah,
who is Fred Ingram? I feel like I've met a Fred before.
If he starts playing terribly, he's gonna be Freddie Ingram. God, no, Freddie. Damn, Freddie. All right, coming up. Our way in as we hit the scale and some good and some bad from the final preseason game, who really helped themselves and who went the other way. We'll do that coming up next.